across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, the male contraceptive injection. We take it for a bit of a test drive. We've got the latest on that game of musical graves being played by our deceased former prime ministers. We introduce you to the Martin Malloy fantasy line on Radio Gladiators. We're looking for new words to that stodgy old national anthem of ours. And joining us today, it's Ray Manzarek, the legendary keyboardist from The Doors. It's all coming up on the show that made Jacques Chirac haul his ambassador back from Canberra, Martin Malloy. You don't treat me no good. That's Sonia Dada welcoming you to Martin Malloy for Wednesday with myself, Tony Martin, of course, and this bloke here, a man who should never have bought Kirk Douglas's son, Eric, all those drinks on that flight from New York to LA, Mick Malloy.
Hey, we were just having fun. God,
that's not what it says in the paper. Now, also in the paper today and all week, indeed, there's been a lot of talk about the male contraceptive injection. Have you been following this, Mick?
Yes, I have keenly, Tone, because it affects us all.
It does, and I think we've got to get to the bottom of it, so just chuck us the phone over.
That's what I have.
Because according to this article, the person who knows the most about this subject is Dr. Edith Weisberg.
That's correct.
And she's at the New South Wales Family Planning Association, so we might just give her a bell and a bit of the all ever popular dialing sound going on
here.
It gets
better and better.
Drink it in, folks. Okay.
Thank you for calling Family Planning. I'm sorry to keep you waiting, but our operator is currently busy, but we'll be with you as soon as possible.
On the job, I'll bet. Testing out the new injections.
Apparently they've been testing their brains out at that place.
Edith Weisberg.
Is that Edith?
Yes.
How are you? This is Tony Martin and Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy radio program.
Hi.
And we're wondering if we could talk to you about this new male contraceptive injection.
Sure.
Yeah, but do you think it's going to work? Do you think it's going to catch on?
I have no idea. It depends on the men, doesn't it? But it's not going to be available for at least 3 to 5 years.
Oh, no, but we want to get the facts now. We want to be ready for it.
Oh, right.
You don't think it might be a bit of a mood spoiler, you know, because you know, when you're ready to make love, it kind of dampens the mood a bit if you have to, you know, stop and shoot up.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about the injection that's used to maintain an erection or the contraceptive one?
Hang on, I'm all of a sudden I'm interested in the one that maintains the erection. What's that one? Where do I get that? And how long before that's on the streets?
That's on the streets now.
Is
if you're
it?
Having trouble with erection, you can shoot up now.
But where do you apply the tourniquet?
You don't have to. It's not an intravenous one.
Now, what about the contraceptive injection itself?
Okay, well, at the moment, it's very much in a trial stage. It's a once-a-week injection, and obviously that's not going to be commercially viable. I can't see men fronting up once a week to get an injection for contraception.
No. In most cases, I'd say most men I know only need it once every 2 or 3 years.
It doesn't work like that.
Oh, okay.
It says in the article we're reading that it does have some side effects, including weight gain. Is that correct?
Yeah, but probably it's more muscle bulk than weight per se.
I thought that just might explain why Barry White's been stacking it on.
It says weight gain and acne, is that correct?
Yes.
Right, so you can take it, and even if you don't get lucky, you stand a good chance of at least getting yourself a job at McDonald's.
Well, it doesn't mean that everybody gets acne. It's exactly the same as with female contraception. I mean, women have been having minor side effects from their contraceptives for a long time. Why would men be less likely to accept them?
Because they're not going to get pregnant.
But their partners are.
Well, that's
true. And they're going to have to support them.
You're right again. Well, I just thought you might have tried some of the more traditional methods of male contraception, like Brute 33. What about Ugg boots? They test pretty well, wouldn't they?
I would imagine so.
I've been employing a form of male contraception which has worked very well for me now for the last 3 or 4 years. I wear a hairpiece from the Advanced Hair Studios. And
when do you wear it?
I wear it when I go out. And I haven't gotten anyone pregnant for about 6 years now.
It's foolproof. Now, also, blokes have trouble remembering which night the bins go out. Do you think they're really going to remember to pop in every month for the shot?
But it's not going to be every month. Presumably, what will happen is we'll either have a three-monthly injection like the female contraceptive Depo-Provera, or even an implant that fits under the skin, which might last for a year or longer.
Is that going to go off when you go through the metal detector at the airport?
No, it's polyethylene.
So it's more of a Pamela Anderson-style implant in that case?
Not really.
Okay. Well, I think that's all the questions we've got, so thanks for your help today.
Okay.
Back to work, Edith.
Bye.
Who's Kerry Bomb here on Martin Malloy, and thanks to Edith Weisberg at the New South Wales Family Planning Clinic for really making it so clear about the contraceptive injections.
Absolutely.
There. And I just have to say, those sort of implants under the skin, I'm not sure about that. It sounds a bit like those transponders that Jeff Kennett in Victoria is trying to get everyone to have on their car so that they can have, you know, the tolls deducted.
Yeah, it's a user-pay system.
Right. So what, every time you have sex, you'll be charged $3, is that it?
Yeah, yeah. But only if you go all the way.
Oh, of course, of course. Okay. But right now it's time for a new segment on the show called Cut Snakes. And this is where we find out just how mad Australians really are by trawling the letters columns from our major metropolitan newspapers. Now, when I say mad, I mean mad in both senses of the word. They're angry, but at the same time, they're clearly just a few grand short of a night with Charlie Sheen, if you know what I'm saying. And today at random, I've selected a Melbourne newspaper, today's edition of the Herald Sun, and specifically their column 50-50, which I believe is one of the true bastions of madness in Australia today. And our first cut snake is Bill McKnight of Trentham, who writes, listen to this, "If Malcolm Fraser is so concerned about boat people being locked away at Port Hedland, why doesn't he just build a five-star hotel for them at his Nairn property?" So, just a bit mad, not the full snake, but a good start. So let's move on to our second letter from the same column on the same day. It's Tony Cleary of Sunbury who writes, "To those knocking Spud Boy," a previous correspondent whose views Tony supports, "who supports the use of the word obey in the wedding ceremony, first there was the burning of the bra, and now the cancellation of the word obey. If we went back to old-fashioned principles, the divorce rate would be cut in half." Now, that's more like it. We've got a reference to bra burning, which is always good. And, of course, those old-fashioned principles.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was comedian Anthony Morgan who said, in the old days in Australia, it was great. Nobody got divorced. People who hated each other would continue to sleep together till the day they died. But it's a cut snake of the day has to be MJ Drage of Diamond Valley, who's written a letter concerning a salute on Melbourne TV last week to a great figure from the world of football, Mr. Football, in fact, Ted Whitten. And the letter reads, listen to this, "There's a time and a place for everything. For heaven's sake, couldn't we have been spared a female hygiene advertisement during the salute to EJ Whitten? A real man's man who dominated in one of the last few areas where masculinity ruled." And when my girlfriend read that, she came up with a joke which linked feminine hygiene products and the author of that letter, but unfortunately it's too blue for me to repeat on air. But it's funny, I've decided these letters to the editor, they're a new form of Australian poetry. Think about it, they've got passion, structure, use of language. And that's why I'm working on a new book of poems in this style.
Mm-hmm.
It's called 50-50. And would you mind if I just did one for you now?
Please go for it.
Naturally, it's called Why Oh Why.
Oh, beautiful.
And it goes like this. Why oh why, it's a national disgrace. Do-gooders and lesbians all over the place. Greenies and Asians trying to change our flag. They won't even let you have a fag. Those bloody Abbos are pretty touchy. Why don't they go back to their own bloody country? They're letting poofs and migrants and a federal cabinet. Whoops, pardon me, it's time for me tablet.
We now return you to abnormal programming. Martin Malloy.
Hey guys, are you lonely? Tired of sitting through a whole hour of dangerous curves just hoping for a glimpse of tit? Then why not call the Martin Malloy fantasy line? I know this photo makes me look like a bit of a bogan chick in lingerie, but hey, losers can't be choosers. Call now and let me realize your wildest fantasy.
Hi, You've reached the Martin Malloy fantasy line.
24.95 per 30 seconds.
And now sit back and enjoy the ride as I take you on a journey into pure fantasy. You are not a sad, pathetic loser. You do have a girlfriend. There is more to your life than Star Trek and the internet. I do look like one of those girls from the stock footage in the commercial. This is not a degrading experience for both of us. This won't show up on your credit card bill and cause the tellers to start snickering whenever you visit the bank.
So call the Martin Malloy fantasy line now and be assured no embarrassing entries on your credit card statement. We simply park one of those giant mobile billboards reading, "Loser lives here outside your house."
Yes.
That's Queen here on Martin Malloy. Just a reminder, Radio Gladiators is coming up, and today we're letting you know in advance we want new words for the National Anthem, because Lenny Henry was in the other day, and I don't think you've read the National Anthem. Oh, send him home! Quick, write a letter to the editor now! But what we're going to do is try and come up with some new words that perhaps people will find easier to remember.
So just the first four lines.
Yeah, just the first four lines. If there's any songwriters out there listening, you might want to get to work now. Any Hunter Brothers listening, put pen to paper. But also, in the next hour, Ray Manzarek from The Doors is going
to
be
looking forward to that.
Yeah, and he's written a few songs in his cello.
It hasn't been just. He might have a crack at it himself.
We'll see if we can get him to get the keyboard out. But, Mick, I have to say, you're looking a bit concerned. What is it?
Well, I've got a bit of a beef, Tone, with the ALP. Firstly, there's a bit of a furore surrounding ACTU president Martin Ferguson and the party's crude attempt to bring him into the safe Labor stronghold of Batman. And now I hear they're up to their old tricks with the dead body of former Prime Minister Ben Chifley, trying to move the body from Bathurst to a new gravesite in Canberra. Yeah. I mean, what do they think they're up to? Moving him to a safer seat? Is that what they're up to? It's grave stacking. That's what it is. It's blatant grave stacking. I feel sorry for some of the other corpses vying for pre-selection in the safe cemetery of Canberra. You know the ones I mean. Those loyal grassroots members, if you'll pardon the pun, who've been buried there all their lives. And it just makes me sick. It's getting very intense, too, Tone. I went past there last week and there are party members handing out how to bury cards. Look, I've got one with me now. Have a look at this. See, that there's a picture of Ben Chifley's corpse. It just goes, "Vote one, Ben Chifley." Even though he's dead, he still belongs in a Canberra cabinet.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
Dion Farris, I know, on Martin Malloy, and Lenny Henry popped in on the program on Monday, and
didn't he?
He was great. And in fact, he's on tour at the moment with a big Live and Loud show, tour. Well, it's not called a tour anymore. There was some sort of misprint at the printers, and someone was sacked, and there was a lot of trouble. But anyway, we were talking about how, the Australian National Anthem. You know, when we've talked about this many times before, we did some kind of survey on the telly, I think, and found that very few people know the words to the anthem. And what we need, maybe, is new words for the anthem, catchier words that people can remember.
Sounds like a cue for
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
It's just that simple. New words for the anthem. We want to retain the tune because, you know,
it's a beauty, isn't it?
Oh, it's got a great beat.
Oh, I love it. And dance all night.
And we really just want, the first four lines?
That'd do.
Okay, have you got an example there, Mick?
Yes, I do. Hang on a second, let me think. Australians, all let us rejoice, for we are all good blokes.
Yeah, good.
We drink too much, we drive too fast, and Winnie Blues are our favourite smokes.
Yeah, I think that works great. Yeah,
thank you.
Or something like this. Australians all let us rejoice, our films don't win at
Cairns, but we've got the Logie Silver Chair and drive through liquor bars.
You've got it in one.
I think that encapsulates the appeal of this great big brown land we all love so much, and that's the kind of thing we're chasing in the prizes. We know about the majesty of the three-pack of CDs.
The menage a trois of CDs.
And the glory of the weekend for two at Le Meridian at the Rialto, which, as we know, it's the soul of Europe in the heart of Melbourne. It's so close you can taste it, isn't it, people? Call now if you'd like to take part with your new words for the anthem before Mick Molloy gets completely carried away. 1-800-657-657.
All right, you guys, let's have a little order around here.
Martin Molloy on SAFM.
Martin Molloy on the new SAFM. That's Hootie. That's Hootie, ably assisted as always by those blowfish here on Martin Molloy. Let her cry. We're playing Radio Gladiators, and today the challenge, we want new words for the national anthem. It's as simple as that. Mick, introduce our songwriters.
Well, we've got Amanda on the line now. Hello, Amanda. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, now you've been putting pen to paper, you've been wordsmithing, you've come up with something. What do you got?
Okay, it goes like this. Australians, we all like to drink, for we are party animals. With beer and wine and different liqueurs, we really don't care what. Our land is covered with pubs and clubs with people everywhere. In history's page is a picture of a stubby. A man drinking anywhere.
Hey, it's
in
not
drunken strange, then let us sing. Advance drinking anywhere.
It's not bad, but it's the rhyme between animals and what was the one?
What,
which you didn't quite.
Right.
It just needs a bit of work, but not a bad start, Amanda.
You're there. You'll be our entrant for the Eurovision Song Contest, Amanda.
Definitely. But if we got Jane, or is it Jamie there?
Yeah, hello.
Hello, is it Jamie?
Yep.
Okay, Jamie, hit us with the new anthem.
Okay. Australians all eat kangaroos for better nutrition. With a stubby and a cigarette, we stay in good condition. We can't find jeans to fit our ass, so we just let it show. Weekends we go to footy games, we are all lazy yobbos. So grab a beer and get this now and leave the wife at home.
I'm on my feet, Mick. I moved. You know what? During that, I instantly stood up and started saluting.
Just impossible to resist now. Have we got the songwriter Alan there? You there, Alan?
Yes, I am.
Are you Alan, or are the artist formerly known as Alan?
No, I am Alan.
Okay, good to hear, Alan. Give us a bit of the anthem.
Okay, then. Australians all get us relief, for we are taxed to the max. With golden handshakes and wealth to the rich, our homes are owned by the banks.
Oh, yes, a bit of a political touch there. Yeah, that's not
a
bad.
A sombre note in a fairly frivolous competition. But well said, Alan, and you speak on behalf of many of us. Well done.
I think we've got time for one more, Mick. Who's it going to be?
We've got Kathy on the line. Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, you better give it to us. Here we go, the anthem.
Australians are all imbeciles who don't know how to vote. Our government is up shit creek and we don't even know it. Then someone goes and says, yeah, yeah, and suddenly overnight, he is a national celebrity with Skippy and Minogue.
Oh, yes, I think we've got our winner.
Got it in a nutshell.
Kathy, you've got the three-pack of CDs and there's Madonna's in there, but it's really her songwriting talent pales in comparison to yours.
Thank you.
And you're also going into the draw for that weekend for two at Le Meridian at the
Rialto.
Good. Oh, it is good indeed. And, by the way, stick around if you're listening at home, people, because we're going to be joined after the news by a legend himself, Ray Manzarek from The Doors.
This is Martin Molloy
with Adelaide's SAFM.
Never let me go. It's the second hour of Martin Molloy. And Mick, here's a bit of keyboard work I think we'd all recognise. I think we remember that. And people with us in the studio is the ivory tinkler responsible from The Doors. It's Ray Manzarek. Ray, thanks for coming in today.
Oh, real pleasure, man. Nice to be here.
Now, let me just get this right. Is everybody in? Is everybody in?
The interview is about to begin. I thought I'd just get you in the right frame of mind there.
Ooh.
Pull back a few old ghosts yes. for you, Ray,
hey,
didn't
hey,
it?
Hey, I'm ready now. Wow, that put me in the mood.
Now, you're on the tour. You're promoting the, well, you're telling us about an American prayer, which I remember a friend of mine used to have in New Zealand on vinyl. He reckoned it was the greatest album ever made.
This friend of yours is extremely perceptive and my kind of guy. Wow, good for him. Good for him.
But, of course, you've made it even better now, haven't you?
Well, we've added a few bonus tracks. We beefed up the sound and did all the things you can do with digital re-EQing it and all that. And we had all that extra space. You know, you've got a lot of memory on a digital disc. So we said, hey, let's put on some bonus tracks, as they call them. We'll put on some new things that people have never heard before.
Yeah, and you're very happy with how it's turned out.
Oh, it came out great. Actually, I'm in the recording studios about 4 months ago with John Densmore and Robbie Krieger for the first time since we did An American Prayer in 1977.
You all had the name tags on.
So we knew who each person was. Who the hell are you, you old codger now, you know? And it was great. Just being with those guys and being able to play again was, one of the highlights of the last decade for me.
And if Jim were alive today, what would Jim be doing, do you think? Think he'd be easing back at the seat, have his foot off the pedal? He'd be kind of...
Well, I don't think he could go at the same rate he was going, because going at the rate that he did go is what killed him in the first place, you know.
Would he still be wearing leather pants? That's what I want to know.
Would he still be wearing the same leather pants? That's the question. Gosh, I have no idea, you know. But I'll tell you, musically, I think we'd be doing albums very much like An American Prayer. I think An American Prayer would have been the album we would have made had Jim come back from Paris. Poetry, spoken word, sound effects, music, songs, atmospheres. I think we were just at the point where we had finally finished being a rock and roll band. We're about to expand into, I don't know what An American Prayer is, you know, but that's where we would have gone, I'm sure.
But if you were still doing that today, would you have a giant statue of Jim Morrison walking through Eastern Europe, Michael Jackson style? Would that be the clip?
Is that man weird? What is that man's, what is that person's problem? Maybe we shouldn't use the term man. Yeah. Does he have a problem or what?
They're currently trying to edit his genitalia out of his latest video. I think... That would have had the same problem with Jim Morrison at a few live concerts.
Right. Given Miami, we did have a problem. Genitals were always getting in the way, you know.
And there was no computer graphics or animation in those days to help
you
out.
I'm telling you, the sheer heft of that member, man.
I'll tell you what, we'll talk a bit more about that particular member in just a moment here on Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy on SAFM.
And Ray Manzarek has very kindly popped in on the show today.
Indeed he has. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Thanks, Ray.
Good to be here.
Now, I read a great quote from you a few years ago. You probably recall the Doors movie. Do you remember that? You weren't very happy with it, if I remember.
No, I wasn't.
Is this quote correct? You came out of it and you said something to the effect that you didn't recognize that asshole. Was that you?
No, that was Jim, the asshole that I didn't recognize. Yeah, exactly. That's a pretty close quote to what I would say about it and will say about it now. And that guy on the screen, I didn't recognize that asshole. Yeah. I don't know who that person was. I'll tell you who I think it was. It was Oliver Stone in leather pants reenacting what he thought Jim Morrison was like.
Now, who played you in that film? Was it Kyle MacLachlan?
Exactly.
And what did you make of his performance?
A bit stiff, a bit wooden. A little hemp would have helped the man.
A bit of method acting, you reckon, Ray?
No, loosen up, dude, would you, for God's sake? I mean, come on, try to snap on 2 and 4. Get with it here.
Now, what was the scene in the film where you met Jim Morrison? I think it was just the two of you bump into each other on the beach and you go, hey, let's just form a band. And suddenly in the next scene, I think you've got a couple of hits on your hands.
Right. Well, we're creating Light My Fire anyway. You know, how did this all happen? There's a guitar player and a drummer, and we're working on Light My Fire in this California beach house. We have no money. How did we afford the beach house? How does this all happen?
Like a Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland film.
Right, let's get a rock and roll band together. Okay, now I'll come up with the introduction to Light My Fire. Give me 5 seconds.
My mom can make the costumes.
The music was terrific. Val Kilmer did a very good job of portraying Jim Morrison. Oliver Stone couldn't write the the spirit of Jim Morrison to save his butt.
Any suggestion that Jim Morrison was the second gunman in Dealey Plaza, I thought was, you know, completely out of place. He's gone mad.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe no, actually, Jim would have been too young to really sort of do that. He would have been just about 17, so I don't think he would have been there for comedy.
Right. When I was a young lad, the first record I ever bought, and this was at a very tender age, and I had no idea what I was doing, I went to like a trash and treasure market in Canberra, and I must have been about 10 or 11, and I fished out of, would have been a $1 bin or something, a single, and it was Riders on the Storm, which I took home and played non-stop for days till my mother confiscated it.
Oh,
and it... It was a bit of an experience for me early on. Do you understand the kind of effect, or did you at the time, that you were having on people? I was about 11 or 12.
Whoa, no. You have to be at least into puberty. You've got to be 13 years old. I'm sorry, at 11 you're not allowed to listen to Riders on the Storm. Well, no wonder you're here and the way you are.
Well, my puberty all happened in about 2.5 minutes while that song was running.
Boing.
I wish I had a story like that, Ray, to tell, but I'm afraid the first single I bought was the Muppets doing Mana Mana, so not quite the same, although it was pretty raunchy in its day.
What was it, really?
But it was the spoken word version.
Oh, yeah,
and those rumours about Kermit, you know, zipping his pants down, that's not true at all. It didn't happen. Now, what's next for you, Ray?
Letting everybody know the CD is out, and we did Europe a couple of weeks ago and went to Paris and went to Germany. I'm going to head off to Japan and have some sushi and do the exact same thing.
Well, good luck.
Except I don't think they'll understand what I'm saying. If we could all go, I think we could have... Can you guys come to Tokyo with me? Are you free?
We'd love to.
Okay.
Tour around on a bus like we're on a tour, like it's a rock and roll tour.
Would you like to do that,
I'd love to do that, right?
Well, let's talk to the manager as soon as we're finished here. I'm sure they'll pay for your flights, huh?
Okay. It's leather pants for everybody. Thanks for coming in today, Ray.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
This is Martin Malloy. Much earlier in the program, we tried to get to the bottom of this male contraceptive injection. We phoned up someone at the Family Planning Clinic in New South Wales, and I don't think we really got too far with that.
No.
But, Mick, you've been thinking about the concept. Does it appeal?
It does appeal. I'm worried about one angle, though, and that's the injection time.
Oh, right.
The injection. I think it's fine, but I'm just concerned about some of, the more promiscuous members of the male variety.
Yeah.
Someone like, say, you, Tone.
Okay.
No, don't you go denying it. You're a stud muffin from way back. You were in the bicycle shorts and the leather pants long before that would-be Michael Hutchins. Eh? How many times have I come home and caught you in the middle of a supermodel sandwich? Well, tell me about it. But, you know, I'll be concerned, Tone. I mean, what is going to happen to someone like you? You're going to end up wandering around like a smack addict. You'll be injecting yourself through the eyeball because you can't find a good vein. The only way anyone will be able to catch up with you is by waiting out the front of a safe house. Needles. I mean, this is trouble. What about big nights, Tone? What about Friday nights? You'll be needing that big bastard from Pulp Fiction. Don't go asking me to plunge that through the chest cage. Why can't we have pills? That's what I want to know. Why can't we have pills? I'd like to be able to go to a chemist with a prescription and get, like, a packet of Tic Tacs full of contraceptive pills. That'd be good. You'd be at a bar, see some El Gorgio babe, you just pull out the packet of Tic Tacs, tap a couple into the paw, bang them, and relax in the knowledge that not only are you protected, but your breath is freshened. I mean, gee, get a bit of Barocca action in there as well, and you've got yourself the all-time big night out in the town pill from hell.
The all-new SAFM.
We've really got to go. We've got to thank our guests, Ray Manzarek from The Doors and Edith Weissman down at the Family Planning Clinic in New South Wales, and all our gladiators, of course. Tomorrow, we'll be joined once again by Amanda Keller, who's going to be popping in to talk about the 100th episode of Denton. And, Mick, we're going to be doing our 100th episode pretty soon. Have we got anything special planned? Are we going to fire Pete Smith out of a cannon or something like that?
I think we're having one of those theme parties, aren't we? Like, hey, have every so often. You know, I'll dress up as a hot dog, or something, you'll be, I don't know, Carmen Miranda.
Maybe I'll put the comedy priest teeth in, do a bit of Hervé Villechaize.
And we're away. You got yourself a 100th show.
Our 100th show. I reckon, just for a bit of a change, for a one-off, I reckon we should do an actual joke on the program.
Oh, you're mad. We've got about 200. We'll try that. We'll tip that at 200.
That's right. We don't want to peak too early, but we must go. So remember, until tomorrow, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Molloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.